بار دیگر صلوات
اللهم
صل علی محمد آل محمد.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الذي ليس لأولية الابتداء ولا لأخرية الانقضاء وانحصرت الأوصاف عن كنه معرفته وردعت عظمته العقول والذي لا تواري عنه سماء سماء وراء أرض أرضا. ثم الصلاة والسلام والتحية والإكرام على سيد الفتحاء سيد المرسلين والأنبياء أبي القاسم محمد المصطفى.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
وعلى الجوهرة القدسية البتول العذراء سيدة النساء فاطمة الزهراء، وعلى بعلها أمير المؤمنين وبنيها الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا.
اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد.
لا سيما على بقية الله وحجته الكبرى الذي بجمنه رزق الورى وبوجوده ثبتت الأرض والسماء، ولولاه لصاحت الأرض بأهلها، واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من حين عداوتهم إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتابه الكريم: ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب. وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم: يا سلمان، من أحب فاطمة ابنتي فهو في الجنة معي، ومن أبغضها فهو في النار. صلوات
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
O our Lord, don't incline our hearts towards falsehood after you have provided guidance to us, and give us from your behalf rahmat and mercy. Certainly you are oft giving. We pray to Allah to continue providing us the hidayat and guidance, so that we practice those of the teachings which ensure our success and our spiritually successful ending of the life on a consistent basis, so the end result of our lives is sa'adat and pleasure of Allah. It has to be kept in our minds that the ingredients of spiritual success that we are discussing, all these factors are not some certain things that we just do once or twice in our life and that's enough. There has to be a consistency in our behaviors, and we need to consistently maintain these attributes in our personality so that we can achieve the desired results. And the ingredient of success that I would like to mention tonight is what we learn from the hadith of Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi
wasallam. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad.
Talking to Salman al-Farsi, he said, Ya Salman, man ahabba Fatimata ibnati, whoever loves Fatima, my daughter, فَهُوَ فِي الْجَنَّةِ مَعِيَا. Then he is in the paradise with me. وَمَنْ أَبْغَضَهَا, and whoever hates her, فَهُوَ فِي النَّارِ, he is in the hell. And then the Prophet has said, يَا سَلْمَانْ حُبُّ فَاطِمَا يَنْفَعُ فِي مِئَةِ مَوْطِنْ. The love of Fatima helps in 100 stations. We all know that the Day of Judgment has 50 stations in total, which we call Mawaqif al-Qiyamah, the stations of the Day of Judgment, where all the humans will be stopped on each of those stations for 1,000 years each, and the total is 50 stations. The Day of Judgment spans over, over 50,000 years, equal to the life of this dunya. 1,000 on each of those stops or stations, which we call Mawaqiful Qiyamah, the stations of the Day of Judgment. And Prophet is talking about that, O Salman, the love of Fatima helps in 100 places. So 100 of the places we will find that the love of Hazrat Fatima alayhi salam is going to help us. أَيْسَرُ تِلْكَ الْمَوَاطِنِ, the easiest of those places is now what the Prophet is starting to count, the easiest ones only, which in our obedience maybe it's one of the hardest ones. But Prophet is counting those of the stations as the easiest. The easiest of those stations is al-maut, that means the time of death, when the soul is taken out and we die. At that moment, the love of Fatima alayhi salam helps us. Wal-qabr, that means the grave. Wal-mizan, that means the time when the actions of people will be scaled and measured and judged. And wal-mahshar means when we are gathered in the maidan and field of accountability, and when everybody will be gathered there. In that time, obviously, people will have scare. They will be afraid. And that time when we will be gathered in the plain, in the field, was-sirat, and the time when we are crossing over the bridge, wal-muhasaba, that means time of accountability. And فَمَنْ رَضِيَتْ عَنْهُ إِبْنَتِي فَاطِمَا, whomsoever my daughter Fatima is pleased with him, رَضِيْتُ عَنْهُ, I'm also pleased with him. So here the Prophet is now, in his own words, issuing us a blank check. Anyone who can make Hazrat Fatima alayhi salam رَضِي and pleased with him, then the Holy Prophet is also pleased with him.
Allah bilang salawat.
Salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
And we all know already the famous hadith from the Prophet in Sahih Bukhari, where the Prophet has said that إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْضِبُ لِغَضَبِ فَاطِمَا وَيَرْضَى لِرِضَاهَا. Allah becomes angry over the anger of Fatima and becomes pleased with the pleasure of Fatima. So here the Prophet is saying that whomsoever my daughter is pleased with him, this statement itself shows that all the human beings on the Day of Judgment are basically, we learn in light of this and certain other ahadith, that Imam Ali alayhi salam and Hazrat Fatima alayhi salam are the owners of the entire process of accountability. Everything that we are going to go through on the Day of Judgment and in the grave is directly under the supervision of these two personalities. Whatever they are going to end up with, either pleasure or displeasure and a disagreement and anger, this is going to decide our destiny. So whomsoever Fatima is pleased with him, I am pleased with him, وَمَنْ رَضِيَتْ عَنْهُ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ, and whomsoever Fatima is pleased with him, وَمَنْ رَضِيْتُ عَنْهُ, whomsoever I am pleased with him, Allah is pleased with him. And then the Prophet says the opposite, about the opposites. وَمَنْ غَضَبَتْ عَلَيْهِ فَاطِمَا, Whomsoever Fatima is angry upon, him غضبت عليه, I am angry upon him. وَمَنْ غَضِبْتُ عَلَيْهِ غَضَبَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ. Whomsoever I am angry upon him, Allah is angry upon him. And then he says, يَا سَلْمَانْ وَيْلٌ لِمَنْ يَظْلِمُهَا وَيَظْلِمُ ذُرِّيَّتَهَا وَشِيَعَتَهَا. That means woe or death towards those, towards anyone who does zulm and oppression upon her, and oppression towards her lineage and her followers. This is something which is a very serious statement of the Prophet. Although all his statements are serious, just like the Holy Quran, all of it without exception is serious. Quran says, وَمَا هُوَ بِالْحَزْلِ. It's not joking. There is no joking in the Holy Quran. وَمَا هُوَ بِالْحَزْلِ. إِنَّهُ لَقَوْلٌ فَصْلٌ. وَمَا هُوَ بِالْحَزْلِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't joke around. Everything he says is serious. Similarly, everything that a Prophet says is serious as well. Even in when he's joking, some of the times in his life when he was joking, he never used to say anything which is untrue. Because in our Sharia, even if you say something untrue while you are joking, you cannot be called adil and just. A lie is a lie even if you are joking. Prophet has said, لَا يَجِدُ عَبْدٌ دَعْمَ الْإِيمَانِ حَتَّى يَتْرُكَ الْكِذْبَ جِدَّهُ وَهَزْلَهُ. A servant of God, an abd, a slave, is not going to taste the taste of Iman until he quits lying seriously and jokingly. So in both the cases we have to quit lying. The Prophet, even though when he was joking some of the times in his life, he always said what is true. But some people, when they joke around, they say untrue statements. This is also going to take you out of the definition of adalat and justice. You would no longer be called an adil person if you are in your joking mode telling the lies. So when Prophet is saying that Hazrat Fatima alayhi salam's ghadab is going to earn his ghadab, and that is going to earn the ghadab and wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is something which is very serious. Then the Prophet says in his hadith that نَحْنُ بَنُوا عَبْدِ الْمُطَّلِبِ. We, the children of Abdul Muttalib. Abdul Muttalib is the grandfather of the Prophet. مَا عَدَانَ بَيْتٌ إِلَّا وَقَدْ خَرِبًا. No household took us as their enemy except that house got devastated. Any house on the planet Earth that held us as their enemy, that house got destroyed. Look at the tone of the Prophet. Look at the clarity of his statement. You know, ma'adana baytun illa waqad kharida. There is no house that held us as enemies except that house got devastated. Wala awana kalbun, and there is no dog that barked upon us. Illa waqad jariba, except that it ended up in the illness of the dog. وَمَنْ لَمْ يُصَدِّقْ فَلْيُجَرِّبْ. Whoever doesn't trust what I say, doesn't certify what I say, should try it on. You do it, you try doing that to the Prophet, and you will face the same happening to you. So Prophet and Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam have a very clear picture. They made a very clear picture in front of us. The only path, brothers and sisters, we have as an option on the table for us to follow is to love the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, and to hate those who hate the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. So that's why we have the concept of Al-Hubbu Fillah Wal-Bughdhu Fillah. Isn't it right? So once the Prophet, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked Prophet Musa alayhi salam that, did you do any khalis action for me? Any pure, sincere action for me? And Musa alayhi salam replied, Prophet sallaytu laka, I prayed for you. Sumtu laka, I fasted for you. Sabbahtu laka, I did tasbih for you. Hallaltu laka, I did tahleel for you. Tahleel means la ilaha illallah, the zikr of la ilaha illallah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala replied that As-salatu laka jawazun ala s-sirat. That means prayers is your own license. That's your license to cross over the bridge. In other words, what it has to do with me? You are going to benefit at the end of the day. If you pray, you will cross over the bridge successfully in the day of judgment. What benefit did Allah get from our prayers? Or from Hazrat Musa's prayers, or anybody's prayers? As-salatu laka. Prayers is your license, your own license to cross over the bridge. وَالصَّوْمُ لَكَ جُنَّةٌ مِنَ النَّارِ. The fasting is your shield from the hellfire. So the flame, the fire can't reach us. Prophet has said in his hadith as well, وَالصَّوْمُ جُنَّةٌ مِنَ النَّارِ. Very famous hadith. Obviously, not every kind of fasting. Our scholars have that the hadith of Ahlul Bayt is also not easy to understand. In the hadithana sa'kun mustas'ab, Prophet has said, our hadith is also difficult. It's difficult. Sa'kun mustas'ab. There's a ta'heed and emphasis. لا يتحمله إلا ملك مقرب أو نبي مرسل أو عبد امتحن الله قلبه للإيمان. No one can digest it, tolerate it, withstand the hadith except a close angel or a messenger, a prophet who is sent, or a servant of God whose iman has been tested by Allah. Only these three categories of people can understand the hadith of the Prophet. The hadith is also not easy. Not everybody has a license to come forward and interpret the hadith of the Prophet in Ahlul Bayt in their own takes and understandings. There is no such room for that. So we find that our scholars have interpreted this hadith that when Prophet says, As-sawmu junnatun minan nar, the fasting is a shield from the hellfire. What kind of fasting is Prophet talking about? The fuqaha, the in-depth scholars of the religion, are saying that the fasting which Prophet talks about in this hadith is that kind of fasting where every part of your body has a share in fasting. So your eyes are fasting as well. So you don't look at things which Allah made haram to look at. Your ears have a share in fasting. You don't hear to those voices of ghibat and tuhmat and slander and backbiting and gossiping and all those things which Allah made haram, and songs and haram music and so on and so forth. So that's how your ears are now fasting as well, not just your stomach. And your hands should be fasting so you don't misuse your hands and the power that Allah has given you to move it around to do things which are haram. So basically if all parts of our body have a share in fasting, that kind of fasting is what the Prophet means in his hadith when he says, As-sawmu jannatun minan nar. Fasting is a shield from the fire. So Allah said, what I was saying to you is that Allah replied back to Prophet Musa that As-salatu laka jawazun ala sirat. In other words, your fast and your prayers is your own license to cross over the bridge. It's your license to cross over the bridge. Fasting is shield for you from the fire. In other words, what benefit did Allah get from you, from Musa's fasting or anybody's fasting? No benefit for Allah. There is no benefit for God for anything that we do, isn't it right? He's Ghani, Allahu Samad. You know, he doesn't stand in need of nothing or nobody. So then Allah said, Tasbih wa tahleel laka darajatun fil jannah. Tasbih and tahleel that you have done is your own level in the paradise. Sure, tasbih of Allah, tahleel of Allah, you earn your own levels. So, Hazrat Musa fa baka Musa alayhi salam, he started to cry. And he heard that reply from Allah. And he said to Allah, رَبِّ دُلَّنِي عَلَىٰ أَمَلٍ خَالِصٍ لَكَ. Oh my Lord, guide me towards an action which is purely for you. Something that you consider to be purely for you, in other words. And that's where Allah, we have multiple narrations. In one narration, it is narrated, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala replied that, هَلْ أَكْرَمْتَ عَالِمًا. Did you respect a scholar? And did you in your life ever respect a scholar? In other words, and then Allah said, Hal kasawta awiyanan. Did you clothe a person who didn't have clothes to wear? Hal saqaita atshanan. Did you provide water to a thirsty person? هل نصرت مظلوما؟ Did you help an oppressed person? So all of these are social and political obligations of Islam. Isn't it right? When you're helping the oppressed around in the Islamic Ummah, it's a political fariza and duty of Islam. And when you're helping respecting a scholar, you're respecting your own religion actually. Because scholar teaches the whole religion. Didn't the Prophet say, scholars are the inheritors of the Prophets? Prophet has said is that if one scholar enters into a town, he enters from one door and exits from the other, وَلَمْ يَأْكُلْ مِنْ طَعَامِهِمْ وَلَمْ يَشْرَبْ مِنْ شَرَابِهِمْ. He did not eat from the food of that town and did not drink from the drinks of that town. He just entered from the town from one door and exited the town from the other. إِلَّا رَفَعَ اللَّهُ عَذَابَ قُبُورِهِمْ أَرْبَعِينَ عَامًا. Just because one alim enters into that city and exits from the other end of the city, Allah removes the azab and punishment of all the graves of the people who are buried in that city for 40 days. That's the respect of one alim. So, akramta aliman, hal akramta aliman, hal saqayta atshanan. It's so important in the eyes of Allah that we give away water and we provide clothes to those who don't have clothes to have. So basically, that's one narration. Another narration tells when Prophet Musa had that conversation with Allah, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala replied back, هَلْ عَلَيْتَ لِي عَدُوًا هَلْ وَلَيْتَ لِي وَلِيًا. That's the narration, second narration. When Prophet Allah said that, you know, what did you do a sincere and khalis act for me? And Prophet Musa inquired, this is the response that Allah gave to Prophet Musa. Did you love my beloved person? Did you consider your enemy the person who is my enemy? Did you take my enemy to be your enemy? This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala considers to be a khalis and sincere action for His sake. And you want to do something which is really loved in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, more than our prayers and fasting, and more than our tasbih and tahleel, where some of the simple-minded people end up thinking that these are the highest levels of worship of Islam, although these are very high in their level, but not the highest, for sure, not the highest. So what we need to do, brothers and sisters, is love those who are the beloved servants of Allah, and hold the enemies in the ziyarat of Ashura. We say to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَرَزَقَنِي الْبَرَاءَةَ مِنْ أَعْدَائِكُمْ. We are praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us this risk. See, risk and food in Islamic concept is of two types, ma'nawi and ma'di. Isn't it right? Metaphysical sustenance that our soul receives from Allah, and physical risk and sustenance with the foods that we consume in our lives for survival of our bodies. So, this bara'at, now we say the ziyarat of Ashura, razaqani, may you provide me the risk of bara'at. That means I condemn and dissociate from your enemies. We pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to provide us this ma'nawi and metaphysical sustenance to our souls, that we reach the level where we are able to disassociate ourselves from all the enemies of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam and the walayat of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, and to condemn those enemies and hold them as our enemies too.
Awaze bulan
salawat.
That's why we find, we are always saying in my speeches that what we need, brothers and sisters, before we invite an alim and a scholar in our Islamic centers, organizations, our Islamic programs and services, we need to make sure the scholar fulfills three conditions. Sufficient knowledge from any hawza. You know, we don't want to entertain the hawza dropouts. And there are a lot. I'm sorry to say, there are quite many of the hawza dropouts who did not complete their education. Am I going to take my son for his knee surgery to a person who attended the medical college for a year and a half only and did not complete his medical science and medical college degree? Am I going to take my son for his knee surgery to a medical college dropout? What if 100 people come up and insist on me, please take your son to that person who was a medical college dropout? What if 1,000,000 people insist on me? I'm not going to do that. We don't compromise our principles. I don't want to jeopardize the life of my son. Isn't that right? That's not rocket science. Nobody's going to do that. We always go to certified lawyers and to certified doctors and certified engineers and certified real estate agents and so on and so forth. That's pure logic. What happens to us when it comes to spiritual teachings? As so many of the people are going over and over again to house of dropouts who never finish their education. So whatever you learn, if you ask for that kind of disinformation or information mixed up with disinformation or incorrect Islamic concept being spread in the name of Islam from the member of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, then you are responsible for that. Because we don't do ma min khatib, Imam Sadiq al-Islam has said, ma min khatib yakhtub illa uridat alayhi khutbatuhu yawm al-qiyamah wa ma arada biha. There is no person who delivers a sermon, a speech, except on the day of judgment, his sermon, his speech will be presented to him. And what did he intend out of it? So if we are liable, just like the speaker is liable, the people are also liable who are sitting and endorsing and supporting and inviting and strengthening taqwiyat of batil. So we require every alim must have proper education completed from any hausa. Is that right? And taqwa, that means he practices his knowledge. And third of all is wa'i, basira, political awareness. So you know who is your enemy and who not, you know who is your friend. Who is your wali and who is your adu. If you don't know, you know, who are your enemies and who are the enemies of Islam and who are the friends of Islam, then you don't deserve to guide. So we find that Shariat Madari was an Ayatollah, isn't that right? And Shah of Iran, La'natullah alayhi, was distributing his book of fatwa free of cost in the Khane Farhan cultural centers of Iran in those days. In the entire Islamic Ummah, cultural centers of Shah's Iran were distributing his Risala Amaliyya, his Tawdihul Masail, Book of Fatwa, free of cost. And the same Shah of Iran was putting a ban on publishing on the Book of Fatwa of Imam Khomeini. If you had his Book of Fatwa in your house, that will land you behind the bars for 6 months. Just for having his Book of Fatwa. There was a ban on but so Shah has the basirat and political awareness this much about the Shia religion, so he can distinguish that printing, publishing, allowing to publish this book of fatwa of this kind of mujtahid is supposed to be done, so he's distributing it free of cost. And this kind of mujtahid publishing his book of fatwa, you need to put a ban. So there's a difference between ijtihad and marji'iyyat of Imam Khomeini and marji'iyyat of Shariat Madari. It's shocking to understand that so many Shias still don't understand. Isn't that right? Because they cannot distinguish between him and him.
Takbir!
Allahu Akbar! Allahu Akbar! Allahu Akbar! Amen!
Nare Hadari! Bawal Ibrahim Salah!
At least you learn from what the enemies are doing. If we don't learn from the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt and their teachings, at least we open up our eyes. Just keep our eyes open and see what they are doing towards us. Is that difficult? How they are behaving towards us. But at least we don't do what benefits them. That's the bare minimum. We cannot benefit the walayat of Imam Sahib al-Zaman alayhi salam and his mission. At least we don't do what benefits the mission of the enemies. That's the bare minimum. If we end up doing things and mawqif and policies which ends up serving the enemies of Imam Sahib al-Zaman alayhi salam, then how in the world can we call ourselves to be supporters of the Imam? When we are supporting, our actions are ending up in their favor. So we find that this is the response that Allah gave to Prophet Musa alayhi salam. Did you love my beloved servant? Any person who is considered by Allah to be his beloved and muqarrab, did we end up loving those people? Any person that Allah considers to be his enemy, do we also took him as our enemy? This is what Allah takes as sincere action for him. Sincerely for him.
So we find that love of Hazrat Zahra sallallahu alayhi wa
sallam is
something which is one of the ingredients of our spiritual success, and her love is an icon and symbol, just like the love of Imam Ali alayhi salam is an icon and symbol of the Shia religion. On the Day of Judgment, the Prophet has said that Unwanu Sahifatil Mu'min Hubbu Ali. So on the Day of Judgment, the Book of Deeds will be handed over to us, the mu'mineen, the lovers and followers of Ahlul Bayt, the title of their Book of Deeds will be Love of Ali. That means this person is a lover of Imam Ali. That's the headline of the Book of Deeds of all the mu'mineen. So Imam Ali's love, in the light of the hadith of the Prophet and Hazrat Fatima alayhi salam, love serves as an icon and symbol for the entire religion. If we want to prove that we are the Shias and we are the true Muslims, then we have to have the love of these two personalities. And obviously, I would like to mention a couple of ahadiths as we are talking about the love of Hazrat Zahra. This is one of the best occasions to learn what she has said. In first hadith, which is that's Madmun al-Riwayah, she says, Man kana yu'minu billahi wal yawm al-akhir, la yudhi jaharu. Whoever believes in Allah and the final day is not going to tease his neighbor. This is one of the teachings that is very important. Imam Hassan alayhi salam narrates, I saw my mother Qa'imatan, she was standing in the mihrab throughout the night and praying, standing in the mihrab and praying throughout the night, naming her neighbors one by one, neighbors or other whatever mu'mineen, one by one. So that's how she used to do, naming other people one by one, and did not pray. And I said to my mom, then why do you lima la tad'ina li nafsiki? Why don't you pray for your own self? And she replied, Al bunayya al jar thumma dar. That means my son, the neighbor, and then the house. That means we take care of the neighbors first, and then we take care of our own selves, our own house. This is not the exact words of the hadith. I'm describing the whole thing in my own words. So we find that in Islam, there are certain rulings which has no condition of iman. Regardless if your neighbor is a mu'min or a non-mu'min, doesn't matter. Let's just like about the walidain, it has been said. You know, certain rulings of Islam are of this category. Regardless your walidain are mu'min or kafir or munafiq, or even if they are murtad, apostate. Regardless of all that, even if they are nasidi, the hadith of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam includes that as well.
Allah salam.
Good behavior towards them. So parents, there is no exception about that. And neighbor, there is no exception about that. And likewise, we have, about the amanat. The entrusted trust, whenever you accept, you have a right not to accept the amanat and trust from somebody. Somebody gives you money or anything else, you have a right to refuse. You don't take it as amanat. But once you accept it as amanat, then it doesn't matter who the person was, then you're liable to protect the amanat from that person and take care of those entrusted trust. And likewise is the silatur rahim, keeping in touch with our relatives, regardless of their faith, even if they are kafirs. It's still wajib in Islam, not mustahab, wajib in Islam to stay in touch with your relatives. One of the reasons why the barakat and blessings of Allah have been removed from the human society is because they do not practice some of the very, very obvious rulings. And Silatul Rahim, that we stay in touch with our relatives. As Zahra sallallahu alayha has said in her hadith, that Silatul Rahim, man sa'atan lil ajal. وَسِلَةُ الرَّحِمْ مَنْ سَأَةً لِلْأَجَلِ سِلَةُ الرَّحِمْ تُنِّي الْأَمْوَالِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made silatul rahim, that we stay in touch with our relatives, in other words, for the, so that the death time can be forgotten. Look at the way she's putting the issue. That means it delays the time of death. If you stay in touch with your relatives, your time of death will be delayed by Allah. You will have a longer life. That's confirmed in the light of the hadith. So, silatul rahim tunni al-amwal. Silatul rahim provides growth in your money. People come up and say, I have no barakat, I invest in a business and it doesn't go well. And the money is lost. But if you want your business to flourish, go and pay a visit to your relatives. Say salam to them, go to their houses, call them, send them emails. Stay in touch with your relatives and your business will start flourishing. Because Hazrat Zahra sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, the silatul rahim tunmi al-amwal. They provide growth to the money. Wa tuzakki al-amal. And they provide, your amal to be cleaned. You have problems, knocks, defects in your salat. We have problems and shortcomings and shortfalls in our prayers, our hajj, our fasting, our ibadat. If we go and pay a visit to our relatives, our prayers and fasting and hajj and all those ibadat that we are doing in our life, their shortcomings and shortfalls will be compensated for. Because we paid a visit to our relatives. Look at the beauty of Islamic teachings. وَتُطْفِي الْبَلْوَى. And staying in touch with your relatives, it extinguishes, it removes the trouble and calamities that we face in our life. One of the reasons why the troubles are removed is staying in touch with your relatives. وَتُنْسِي الْآجَالِ. And it makes you forget your time of death. What does it mean? That means your time of death gets delayed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You will end up having a longer life. And then she says, she also said, مَنْ كَانَ يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ فَلْيُكْرِمْ ضَيْفَهُ. Whoever believes in Allah and the final day must respect his guest. Another very important thing, and commonly ignored by some, respecting a guest. We have hadith again where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had said that Allah said to Prophet Musa that in akramta dhaifaka fa ana habibi fa anta habibi. If you respect your guest, then I am your beloved. If you respect your guest, I am your beloved. Fa ana habibi. Fa anta habibi. Sorry, I'm sorry about that. If you respect your guest, then you are my beloved. Anta habibi. If you respect your guest, then you are my beloved. And may Allah love you if you respect your guest. And then Allah said, "Wa in akramta dhaifi," and if you honor my guest, fa ana habibuka. That will prove that Allah is your beloved. Then Hazrat Musa alayhi salam asked Allah, who is your guest and who is my guest? It's a very logical question. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala replies back, the person who comes to you invite to your house, that is the person which is your guest, and the person who comes to your house without you inviting him is my guest.
Baba Jibran Salawat!
The person that you have invited and he shows up into your house, this is your guest. But if the person comes into your house that you did not invite him, this is Allah's guest coming to you. We need to honor him as well. Especially the masakeen, that's not part of the hadith. The masakeen and poor people. They should not be repelled at any cost. We need to support them and help them. So some people, when they are inviting a person, they calculate in their mind, this such and such time I'll come back from the job and then we're going to eat food. Okay, let me invite him at 10:30. By that time, we will end up taking the dinner and he will not end up eating food at my house. So planning in our mind to invite the guest at a time where he does not end up eating food.
And we forget what the Prophet has said. At the end, the guest comes and, you know, when he comes, he brings his own risk. When he departs, he takes away the sins of that family. The sins of the entire family is taken away by the guest with him when he exits the door. You forget that. If you remember these glorious Nurani teachings of the Prophet, we would love to accept guests just like the Prophet Ibrahim a.s. used to stand outside of his house and wait for somebody to show up so he doesn't end up eating food alone. So Hazrat Zahra sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in her hadith,
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
In akram ta'ifaka, man kana yu'minu billahi wal yawm al-akhir, whoever believes in Allah in the final day should respect his guests. And then also, he has said, man kana yu'minu billahi wal yawm al-akhir, fal yakul khayran aw liyaskut. Whoever believes in Allah and the final day should either say khair and goodness or stay silent. When we speak, we should be very careful what we are speaking. We think twice before we speak. So Islam, our religion teaches us, for the regular mu'mineen, our religion teaches us, stay quiet. Don't speak. Keep your mouth closed. For the awliya Allah and the beloved servants of Allah, the duty is different. For the regular mu'mineen, Islam says, keep your mouth closed. Don't speak until you must. And when you have to speak, make sure you are speaking khair and goodness only, as much as is required. Otherwise, keep your mouth closed. Think. Tafakkur fi amrillah is ibadat in the eyes of Islam. The fikru sa'atin khairun min ibadat al-sana. Thinking for a while is better than 1 year of worship. For the awliya Allah, the beloved servants of God, the Islamic duty is totally opposite. Islam says to the beloved servants of Allah, don't stay silent, speak up. If you don't speak, who else has the right to speak? If you don't have the right to speak up. Because awliya Allah, فَإِنْ أَيْنَّ أَوْلِيَاءُ اللَّهِ سَكَتُوا كِفَكَانَ سُكُوتُهُمْ فِكْرًا. Prophet says in his hadith, if the beloved servants of Allah are silent, their silence is fikr, tafakkur, thinking, pondering about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In other words, وَتَكَلَّمُوا فَكَانَ كَلَامُهُمْ ذِكْرًا. If the beloved servants of Allah speak up, their speech, their talk is zikr and remembrance of Allah. وَنَتَقُوا فَكَانَ نُتْقُهُمْ حِكْمَةً. When they talk, their talk is wisdom. وَمَشَوْا فَكَانَ مَشْيَتُهُمْ بَيْنَ النَّاسِ بَرَكَةً. And when they walk, their walking among the people is barakat. And then Prophet has said, لَوْلَا الْآجَالُ الَّتِي كُتِبَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ. If it was not the fixed time that Allah has written down upon them, that the fixed time of death, لَمْ تَسْتَقِرْ أَرْوَاحُهُمْ فِي أَبْدَانِهِمْ. Their souls would not have stayed in their bodies. That means, why would the beloved servants of Allah even bother to stay in this type of dunya, in this temporary abode? Who cares about staying here? Their souls are only attached to the world of hidden realities, Alam al-Malakut. They would love to depart this dunya immediately if they could. But what can they do? Because the time of death is fixed, so the souls cannot depart. Otherwise, their souls are not attached for a fraction of the second with anything of this dunya. They have zero attachment with this world of matter. That's our beloved servants of Allah. These type of people in Islam have been given the right to speak up. And now when you look into the situation of our, generally speaking, in the United States, you find various Islamic centers, and what kind of messages are being given from the minbar, and what type of people do we invite, and how much cultural and traditional practices have been served instead of serving the teachings of the Prophet, and Ahlul Bayt.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
الصمت كنز من كنوز الجنة. Silence is a treasure among the treasures of paradise. The hadith says, الصمت باب من أبواب الحكمة. Silence is a door among the doors of wisdom. Silence takes you towards the wisdom, in other words. Silence lands you into the domain of paradise. If you stay silent, you will land in the paradise. If you do it for the sake of Allah and you continue to do it, you have the treasure among the treasures of paradise, and you are very likely to end up in the paradise. So we find that these personalities are so beloved in the eyes of Allah. When in the hadith we find, when Hazrat Zahra and Hazrat Adam and Hawa alayhi salam were there in the Jannah, in the narration we learn, when they were in the Jannah, جَالِسَيْنِ وَجَاءَهُمَا جِبْرَيْلٌ وَأَتَى بِهِمَا إِلَىٰ قَصْرٍ مِنْ ذَهَبٍ وَفِضَّةٍ. They were sitting in the palace and Jibreel came and took them, in other words, to a palace made of gold and silver. شُرُفَاتُهُ مِنْ زَمَرُّدْ. Its pillars of the palace were made of emerald. And فِيهِ سَرِيرٌ مِنْ يَاقُوتَةٍ حَمْرَىٰ. It had a bed made of red ruby. A bed of red ruby. وَعَلَىٰ سَرِيرٍ قُبَّةٌ مِنْ نُورٍ. And over the bed there was a dome of nur, dome of divine light. فِيهَا سُورَةٌ. And inside the dome there was a face. سُورَةٌ عَلَىٰ رَأْسِهَا تَاجٌ. On the head of the face there was a crown. وَفِي أُذُنَيْهَا قُرُطَانٍ مِنْ لُؤْلُؤٍ. And in the ears of that face there were two earrings of pearl. And وَفِي عُنُقِهَا طَوْقٌ مِنْ نُورٍ. And in the neck of that face there was a necklace of nur. فَتَعَجَّبُوا مِنْ نُورِهَا. Then we heard that Adam and Hawa alayhi salam got shocked when they saw such a huge, immense, extensive illumination of light and nur. حَتَّى أَنَّ آدَمْ نَسِيَ حُسْنَ حَوَّى. The narration says Adam forgot the beauty of his wife Hawa. فَقَالَ مَا هَذِهِ السُّورَةِ. In other words, so he said, what is this face? And that's where Jibreel replied, قَالَ جِبْرَئِيلْ فَاطِمَةُ وَالتَّاجُ أَبُوهَا وَالطَّوْقُ زَوْجُهَا وَالْقُرْطَانِ الْحَسَنُ وَالْحُسَيْنُ.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
نعم هدري.
So this is the type of personality we are talking about. So Hazrat Fatima alayhi salam's face was there, and the taj and the crown was, you know, that's about her father, and the talk and the necklace was her husband, and the earrings was Hassan and Hussein alayhi salam. And later on in the narration we find when the tawbah of Hazrat Adam, it's a very long narration, when the tawbah of Hazrat Adam was accepted over the names of these five great personalities, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, forgave him, we learned that Allah said, فَأَوْحَ اللَّهُ إِلَيْهِ. Allah sent His wahi and revelation to Prophet Adam, يَا آدَمْ لَوْ سَأَلْتَنِي فِي جَمِيعِ ذُرِّيَّتِكَ لَنَفَرْتُ لَهُمْ. That means if you had asked me to forgive your entire lineage of humankind, I would have forgiven them. So much, these five names are so beloved. These five personalities are so beloved in the eyes of Allah that if Hazrat Adam at that time had asked Allah to forgive all the humans in his lineage, Allah would have forgiven all of them. Look at the greatness of these five names. So when somebody comes to Imam Ridha alayhi salam,
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
And this person says, ask Imam Ridha alayhi salam about two companions of the Prophet. Two specific companions of the Prophet. What is your opinion about those two? And Imam Ridha alayhi salam in the response said, Subhanallah wa alhamdulillahi wa la ilaha illallah wa Allahu Akbar. Look at the question and look at the response of the Imam. And this person was totally, he didn't know what, had no clue what Imam Ridha is talking about and what's the meaning of what he said. What it has to do with the question that he has asked. So the narration says, and that's narrated by Sayyidina Ta'us rahmatullah alayhi in Kitab al-Tara'if. He says that فَأَلَحَّ السَّائِلْ عَلَيْهِ. Now the person who posed the question insisted on Imam Ruba alayhi salam to say something more, to expand on what he said. He couldn't understand what Imam means. So Imam alayhi salam replies back, look at the azamat of Hazrat Al-Abraq salam alayhi. How much great she is. So Imam Ruba alayhi salam replies back, كَانَتْ لَنَا أُمٌ صَالِحَةٌ وَهِيَ عَلَيْهِمَا صَاحِبًا. We had a salih mother, a good doer mother. وَهِيَ عَلَيْهِمَا صَاحِبًا. And she is angry over those two. وَلَمْ يَأْتِنَا بَعْدَ مَوْتِهَا خَبَرٌ أَنَّهَا رَضِيَتْ عَنْهُمَا. And after her death, he did not receive any news that she became pleased with them. So Hazrat Zahra sallallahu alayha's pleasure is what is going to matter for the life and destiny of a people. And we find that one person comes and asks Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, this person comes and asks Imam Sadiq alayhi salam that I saw the statement of Prophet saying that إِنَّ فَاطِمَةَ أَحْسَنَتْ فَرْجِهَا فَحَرَّمَ اللَّهُ ذُرِّيَّتَهَا لَنَّارِ. As Fatima alayhi salam is very, very beloved. You know, this person, one person came to Imam Sadiq alayhi salam and said, sometimes I visit Mecca, I go to Kaaba, and you know what, I do a tawaf on behalf of your great mother, Hazrat Fatima alayhi salam. Is it the right thing that I am doing? And Imam Sadiq alayhi salam said, رُبَّمَا طُفْتُ وَرُبَّمَا لَمْ أَطُفْ. Sometimes I do the tawaf, sometimes I don't. I want to ask you, the Imam, is it the right thing I'm doing a tawaf on behalf of your mother or the Fatima alayhi salam? And Imam alayhi salam replied that this is the best of what you would do in your actions. It is the best of all the actions a person can do is doing something for the sake of Hazrat Fatima in your life. Imagine you make a niyat tonight that I'm going to give, you know, $10, whatever amount that you can afford for the love of Hazrat Fatima alayhi salam, for the mission of Imam Sahib al-Zaman alayhi salam. The same amount of money that you give for in the niyat of her love will have multiple award as compared to the same amount you give for your own sake or anyone else. So Hazrat Zahra sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has that special status. So this person comes to Imam Sadiq alayhi salam and says, إِنَّ فَاطِمَةَ أَحْسَنَتْ فَرْجَهَا فَحَرَّمَ اللَّهُ ذُرِّيَّتَهَا عَلَى النَّارِ. Hazrat Zahra sallallahu alayhi wa sallam protected her chastity, in other words. So Allah made her lineage haram on the hell. That means none of the lineage of Hazrat Fatima. That's what he perceived from the hadith. His understanding from the hadith was, from the hadith of the Prophet according to this narration, his understanding was that all the Sayyids and Hashimis in the history of the Prophet, in the history of humanity, all of those Sayyid people and Hashimis, they are made haram by Allah because Hazrat Fatima alayhi salam protected her chastity. That's what the Prophet has said, he says. And أَلَيْسَ هَذَا أَمَانًا لِكُلِّ فَاطِمِيٍّ فِي الدُّنْيَا. Isn't that enough a security for every person who belongs to Hazrat Fatima? So it's a security for everyone? And Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, look at the response of the Imam. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam says, إِنَّكَ لَأَحْمَقُ. You are silly. إِنَّمَا أَرَادَ حَسَنًا وَحُسَيْنًا. What Prophet meant from his hadith was Imam Hassan, Imam Hussein. He says salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
We just discussed minutes ago that not everybody has a right to interpret the hadith of the Prophet. Not everybody can even understand the hadith properly, what exactly they mean. So, إِنَّكَ الْأَحْمَقُ. You are certainly a silly person. And Imam says, إِنَّمَا أَرَادَ حَسَنًا وَحُسَيْنًا. What Prophet meant was Hassan and Hussein alayhi salam. لَأَنَّهُمَا مِنَ الْقَمْسَةِ أَهْلَ الْبَيْتِ. Because they are part of the five among أَهْلَ الْبَيْتِ مِنْ سَلَامُ أَهْلَ الْبَيْتِ مِنْ سَلَامُ. فَأَمَّا مَنْ عَلَاهُمَا فَمَنْ قَعَدَ بِهِ عَمَلُهُ لَمْ يَنْهَضْ بِهِ نَسَبُهُ. And anyone else who is other than those, Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein, those two,
whomsoever's actions bring him down, his nasab and lineage cannot elevate him. So if a Sayyid is not behaving well, if a Hashimi person is not behaving well, he should not think that just because I am from the lineage of Hazrat Zahra salamu alayha, then whatever I may do is okay. That's fine for me. Our actions are going to decide at the end of the day what is our destiny, not our lineage. Actually, our scholars have mentioned that if a Sayyid performs the haram, the azab and punishment is also multiple. It's double. And if a Sayyid performs a good deed, obviously the thawab is also more. So there is no room for a person to misinterpret the teachings of the Prophet. We find that Hazrat Zahra salamu alayha, when she was born, the Fountain of Quraysh boycotted Hazrat Khadija salamu alayha. Complete boycott. What we are witnessing nowadays, brothers and sisters, by the mustakbireen and the arrogance today, what they are doing towards boycotting Islam and Tashayyu and the representatives of Islam and Tashayyu today, this is nothing new. This has been taking place throughout. It has a history and format of kufr. Hazrat Khadija was boycotted by the women of Makkah, and when the time of birth arrived, she was seeking help from the woman, and no one among the women showed up to help her in that hour of need. Once Prophet entered into the house, and Prophet discovered that Hazrat Khadija is talking to somebody, and Prophet asked her, and she replied back to the Holy Prophet that this Janeen, this baby in my womb is the one, she basically is talking to that baby. Hazrat Zahra salamu alayha used to comfort her mother in the womb by talking to her and comforting her. Our Imams and the Masumeen used to speak when they are in the wombs of their mothers. فَسَمِعَ خَدِيجَةَ تُحَدِّثُ فَاطِمَ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامُ. Prophet heard that she is talking to Fatima alayhi salam, and he asked her, and she explained about it, and she's talking to this baby in the womb, and Prophet said, Ya Khadija, Hala Jibreel. Here is Jibreel, this is Jibreel, and Yubashiruni annaha unsa, that she is a female, wa annaha nasbatu tahira al maymuna, wa anna Allah ta'ala sayaj'al nasli minha. Soon Allah is going to bring out my lineage through her. There will be the lineage of the Prophet is going to be spread through Hazrat Fatima alayhi salam. وَيَسَيَجْعَلُ نَسْلَهَا أَئِمَّةً وَيَجْعَلُهُمْ خُلَفَاءَ فِي أَرْضِهِ. And Allah is going to make her nasl as the Imams and Khulafa and vicegerents of God on His earth. This is the status of Hazrat Zahra salamu alayha. Please say salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
So our behavior towards the love of Hazrat Fatima is going to decide our destiny. How much we associate ourselves with her and her imams in her lineage and their mission, and how much we disassociate ourselves from the enemies of the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. What's our behavior? So we find that just like Hazrat Zahra salamu alayha is so beloved in the eyes of the Prophet, similarly, Imam Hussain alayhi salam is so beloved in the eyes of Hazrat Zahra. Direct relationship and resemblance. And similarly, Abu al-Fadl Abbas alayhi salam is also beloved in the eyes of Hazrat Fatima, and the eyes of Imam Hussain alayhi salam, and the eyes of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam. Tonight is the 8th of Muharram. That belongs to Abu al-Fadl Abbas alayhi salam. Isn't it right? So we find that Imam Ali asked his brother Aqil, because Aqil had the information about the lineages and Ansar. So he asked him to find a family which is brave, so he can marry that family, and there will be a child getting born who can defend Hussein ibn Ali. Look at the arrangement of Imam Ali from far away. Bravery and shuja'at is
part of it is within the reach of the humans, our scholars of akhlaq say, and certain levels of bravery are beyond the reach of humans. It's not in our reach, it's genetic. Certain levels of bravery are genetic, and certain levels of bravery are within the reach of the humans to achieve. So we find what is within the reach of the humans to achieve is to overcome our desires. That's the true bravery. What Imam Ali has said in Nahjul Balagha, أَشْجَعُ النَّاسْ مَنْ غَلَبَ هَوَاهُ. The most shuja' and courageous person is the one who overcomes his desire. That's within our reach to overcome it, otherwise we would never be obliged to do that on behalf of Allah. But certain levels of bravery are genetic, that's not in our reach. So Hazrat Fatima Umm al-Baneen, Fatima al-Kilabiyya, Salamullahi alayha, Imam Ali married this lady, then Abul Fadl Abbas was born. Such a person who is the madhar of the shaja'at of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam. So we find that Imam Ali alayhi salam, when the final moment arrived, and Imam Ali alayhi salam was doing his wasiyyat, his will, and he handed over the hand of every person into the hand of Imam Hassan alayhi salam. Everybody's hand, everybody of his family, but his hand was given into the hand of Imam Hassan alayhi salam. Everyone was submitted into the charge and authority of Imam Hassan alayhi salam, except Abul Fadl Abbas. And his mother said to Imam Ali alayhi salam, you did not give the hand of Abbas. And that's where, in other words, which I'm paraphrasing these narrations, and Imam Ali alayhi salam asked Imam Hussein, and gave the hand of Abul Fadl Abbas into the hand of Imam Hussein. Look at the arrangement of Mawla Amir al-Mu'mineen. So, Imam Ali was trying to say, one of the benefits we understand from that narration, that Abul Fadl Abbas was given the message that I will not be there in the Maidan of Karbala. Even if I am not there, don't make Hussein think that Ali ibn Abi Talib is not there. That means you have to support Hussein ibn Ali with the shaja'at and defend him. And that's exactly what Abul Fadl Abbas did to his best. We find when the entire Ashab became shaheed. And finally, we find when all the Banu Hashim, according to certain narrations, all the Banu Hashim became shaheed. That was the time that Imam Hussein, we find Abul Fadl Abbas comes to Imam Hussein alayhi salam, and to seek the permission to fight against the Ashqiya. And Imam Hussein replies, Anta hamilu liwa'i. You are the flag bearer of mine. And Abul Fadl Abbas said, where is that army for whom I am the flag bearer? That means everybody has already become shaheed, in other words. So nobody else is remaining. So Imam Hussein asked him to bring water. And he comes to the Khaybah. Hazrat Sakina, you know how much Hazrat Sakina is attached to Abul Fadl Abbas. You know how much Hazrat Sakina has hope in Abul Fadl Abbas. So he brings the water bottle and can and the water carrier to Abul Fadl Abbas. So he can bring water for her. So we find now that Abul Fadl Abbas is finally leaving towards the Furat. And he did his battle. He fought with the enemies. And so many of the enemies were killed. And people saw the shujaat of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam. But we find that finally, when he reaches to the river of Furat, and he grabs the water, he takes water into his hand, into the palm of his hand. But that time is when he recalls Hazrat Sakina. She recalls the daughter of Imam Hussein. He did not drink water from the water of Furat. Instead, he throws the water back. This is the wafa and faithfulness of Abul Fadl Abbas. Despite the fact, he proved to the enemy that it is my control over the river. It is not your control. But he still did not drink water, because
Sakina is thirsty. How can Abul Fadl Abbas drink water before Sakina? He throws the water and he fills up the container with water, and now he returns back towards the tents of Khiyam. There's obviously all the sides the enemies are surrounding because they don't want the water to reach Imam Hussein. We find the animals were allowed to drink from that water. Everyone was allowed, but not Hussein ibn Ali and his people. Abul Fadl Abbas is bringing the water, and we find one of the Ashqiya comes forward and he strikes over the right hand of Abul Fadl Abbas, and his right hand was chopped and removed. And what the look at the courage of Abul Fadl Abbas. He grabbed the mushk and the container of water with his left hand and still continues to move his horse towards the Khiyam. And finally, when the left arm was also hit, he did not stop moving towards the Khiyam because there is still hope remaining. So Abul Fadl Abbas grabs the water with his teeth and is still moving towards the Khiyam. Our salam be on Abul Fadl Abbas for his courage and his faithfulness. We find he's still moving forward towards the Khiyam because he wants to take, he wants to bring water for Sakina. Now that one of the Ashqiya threw the arrow at the mushk of Hazrat Sakina at this container of water, and as soon as the arrow strikes the container of water, the narration says Abul Fadl Abbas stopped there. He did not move forward. Why would he move forward any longer? He stopped there, and obviously now he doesn't have his both hands, and now the enemies are attacking him from all the sides, and he is now being charged and attacked by all. One of the arrows had struck into his eye, inside his eye. Look at the jihad of Abul Fadl Abbas. Finally, when he gets down from the back of his horse over the Maidan and ground of Karbala, we find Ayatullah Sibawayh, who used to lead the Jamaat prayer in the haram of Abul Fadl Abbas in Karbala. He saw in his dream, Abul Fadl Abbas came into his dream talking about his musibat and masaib, and he, Ayatullah Sibawayh, replied, "Which musibat and masaib are you talking about, my Mawla?" And he replied, "When every shaheed was coming down to the ground, their hands were there. But when I came down," that means when Abul Fadl Abbas came down from the back of the horse, he did not have his hands. So he fell, and all the arrows penetrated into his body again, once again. Because the musibat of Abul Fadl Abbas, we find when Imam Hussein alayhi salam discovers, he comes, he says, "Al-an inkasara zahri wa qallat hilati." Now my back is broken and my plan got decreased. It's less. This is the status of Abul Fadl Abbas. He, one of the shuara, one of the poets, he wrote a poetry, a shair, and he recited his shair, that Yawman Abul Fadl Istijar al-Huda, that the day of Ashura was such a day that Imam Hussein took refuge towards Abbas. And then he cancelled his rhyme and that share and that statement. And because how can it be possible that a Masoom can take refuge towards a non-Masoom? First of all, Abul Fadl Abbas is also a Masoom. Isn't that right? He's also a Masoom. This is not the right thing that came into his mind. And then it is narrated that he saw in his dream Imam Hussein al-Islam himself coming. He showed up and said to that child, "Why did you cross that statement? That's, you know, Misra of the Shair, in other words. You know, I did take refuge towards Abbas." Imam Hussein said to him, "Why said I did take refuge?" So Abul Fadl Abbas provided the refuge for Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Look at the status of Abul Fadl Abbas. He's the only shaheed, brothers and sisters, he's the only shaheed in the day of Ashura for whom it is narrated
Imam Hussein alayhi salam said to Abu al-Abbas, "Be nafsi anta, may my life be sacrificed for you." When Imam Hussein says that, that kind of statement, and when Imam Hussein's life is sacrificed, may the whole universe be sacrificed for Abu al-Abbas. Because everything is subservient for Imam Hussein. So even if the whole universe is sacrificed for Abu al-Abbas, it is still less. When Imam Hussein says, "May my life be sacrificed for you," we find this is the status of Abu al-Abbas. He is the only shaheed. When the Prophet brings the drink of Kausar for every shaheed on the day of Ashura, Prophet provided the drink of Kausar. He brought for Abu al-Abbas as well. But he's the only shaheed. Ayatollah Jafar Shusri says that he refused to drink the drink of Kausar. Because he said, as long as Imam Hussein is thirsty, how can he drink? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala awarded the laqab and title of Babul Hawa'id. Our hajat are accepted through Abul Fadl Abbas alayhi salam. This is the status of Abul Fadl Abbas. We find that when this caravan finally reaches the Medina city, and Hazrat Umm al-Baneen was given this news, she heard that Imam Hussein alayhi salam became shaheed, and she started to address the Amir al-Mu'mineen. How much you were, in other words, in relying on the shujaat of Abul Fadl Abbas, by Hussein got killed. She started to say that, that Imam Ali alayhi salam, how much he trusted Abul Fadl Abbas alayhi salam. And Imam Hussein still got killed. So Bashir replies back to Umm al-Baneen, "Please don't say that, because as long as Abul Fadl Abbas was alive, nothing could happen to Imam Hussein alayhi salam, because he was protecting Mawla Imam Hussein."
Ya Hussein,
Ya Abbas,
Ya Abbas,
Ya Abbas,
Ya Abbas,
Ya Abbas,
Ya Abbas,
Ya Abbas.